Hi, everybody. I'm Stevie B. I'm a grateful recovering alcoholic and a member of the West Side Men's Group of Alcoholics Anonymous and also the Golden Text Group in Dania. You know, tonight, first of all, I'm overwhelmed with gratitude. I'm a person that is usually not hard for me to find words. But on the way in tonight, to have people that I respect to tell me about this gift that God gave me, that I've been able to share with you, I'm overwhelmed with gratitude. But I realize that in this group, the whole group is built on gratitude. You know, one of the reasons I was able to rearrange my schedule, and I'm so glad that I did, and leave my service commitment that I have on Monday nights is because of the gratitude that Annie feels for Alcoholics Anonymous. The gratitude she feels for Snow. The gratitude Snow feels for the person that passed it to Snow. And how we do this thing, how it was intended, is for us to be so welled up in gratitude, with gratitude, in the process of gratitude, in the action of gratitude, is that we are so filled up that we just are excited to give it away. That it would be almost impossible not to. Because it's just welling up. It's so much inside of us because of this gift we've been given. We just cannot help but telling someone else about it. Dion just said to me that this could be a box of cash. It's heavy though, so it could be gold bars. What if it was? What if this was gold bars? What if my entire life was about to change right now because this group somehow got together and Dion put his stuff together with Snow and they got me gold bars. And my whole life was about to change financially. And it would happen in this meeting that everything went from I was a regular guy and then I became a rich guy from this box of gold bars. Well, of course, I'd be so grateful about it, I'd be telling everyone about it. You should have seen what they did for me at this meeting. My whole life changed. I was handed gold bars. Well, what we've been given in Alcoholics Anonymous carries a lot more weight and depth and importance and life-changing than gold bars. Now, if you're still in the process of where you're still not sure if you want to stay, of course, some of this gratitude talk is maybe going to seem a little bit out there, but I'm telling you, if you stay long enough to where you've been given a freedom and a new life, well, gold bars, you would never settle for gold bars. If someone said, well, you could trade your sobriety in for gold bars, no. I wouldn't even trade my sobriety in for a body like right there. I wouldn't even trade it. Neil's body. But he gave me a shirt that says six pack by Zach. He told me if I train with him that I will fit into this. First, he promised me two things. If I train with him, that I'll be able to fit into this large shirt. And then another thing he said is I'll have a six-pack. Like, you see, these are six-pack. That means add six-pack. Right now I have a one-pack. So some promises were made to me by this young man, and obviously he's been doing it. You could see his six-pack, his biceps, his triceps, his trapseps, all these different things. And he promised me if I train with him, I'll have that result. And he has that result, and he wants to help me to do my training, and that's what we want to do here. You know, I don't want to end this. This has been the most amazing experience. But it's not an end, because then we'll have another great speaker next week, and it'll be a different experience. It won't be the same experience. We'll have a different experience, and that's the way Alcoholics Anonymous is, and that's why we have 40-plus years. Dion will have 50 in April, 50 years. We have Elliot celebrating 35 years. You don't stay around for 40 plus and 35 and 50 years if we're bored and we're having a miserable time. You don't. You just don't. You may stay sober, but you're not excited to get to meetings. But we're excited to get to meetings. This whole process of getting to hear speakers and getting to hear shares and saying what's going on inside of us is so exciting. And it's life-changing. Tonight is going to be different than the previous 11 steps. So I do want to say that. I'm going to do some readings that have meaning to me and have meaning to my sobriety and have given me a wind beneath my wings when I've needed it. And the other thing I want to say is that all the talks that we did and Paulie's talks and some of Dion's talks, but this whole series has been on this, recorded on a website called rocketed.org. Rocketed.org, which is, you know, we've been rocketed into the fourth dimension of existence. Well, all of these and Peter's talks are all on rocketed.org. When Annie asked me to do this, I hadn't dreamed that my parents were going to be coming week after week with me. I mean, I thought they'd come once. So to have my parents about to be 75 and 85, look forward to this Monday night. Really an extravaganza we have every Monday. Has been something I'll never forget. This temple, this house of God for me, to speak in this house of God is something I'll never forget. I love speaking in basements, and I love speaking in all different places. I love speaking. But to speak, look, some of my friends, did like, But to speak in the house of God, that's a special blessing for me. Some of you are here that you're in treatment and you are the most important person in the room. But in order to continue to be the most important person in your own lives, you're going to have to make a decision. Someone said to me on the way in here tonight that they're having cravings. Well, what you're really having is thoughts. Cravings are only if you haven't surrendered. If you've surrendered, if you admitted that you're powerless and that your life is unmanageable, cravings diminish because you know you're not going to drink again. You don't know how you're not going to drink again, but you just know that you're not going to drink again. You just don't know how you're going to go about it. Here's the great news. There's a big book, and there's people like the people that we have in here tonight that'll show you how to do it so we don't have to recreate anything. During 1935 to 1939, they were reading various religious texts, and they were following different religious people, all different religions. It wasn't all one religion. And during that time, they didn't have the big book, and it was harder. But now we do. Tonight, we're going to hear a little part of Dr. Bob's story. I'm also going to read to you something that has a lot of meaning to me called the starfish story. Then I'm going to read you a story about the ninth and tenth leper. These are all stories for me. These are all readings for me that carry a lot of weight for me because I don't know about you. I have alcoholism and it has nothing to do with drinking. January 3rd was my 16 years. And Eddie just walked in, and Eddie just celebrated his 16 years yesterday. So congratulations, Eddie, yesterday, 16 years. So I haven't had a drink in 16 years, praise God, but I have alcoholism that could return at any time. I don't know if you know how that feels. Alcoholism comes back, and it just whacks you, and you feel like you could murder somebody, or you could cut somebody off, or you could, you know, you could. I don't want to say this out loud because I don't want it to be misunderstood, but alcoholism could return to you. You could feel like you could take your own life, and then alcoholism goes away, and then you call one of your sponsors or one of your mentors. You say, "Listen, I feel like killing myself," and they say, "Well, get to a meeting," and then they call you the next day. "How you doing?" You say, "Fine. Why do you ask?" Because that's alcoholism. Alcoholism comes and goes. It comes and goes. Now, if you allow alcoholism back in your life for any length of time, you could actually start to believe some of those stories. I had alcoholism a couple weeks ago, right, Mom? On a Thursday night, I'm like, my life sucks. I'm going to kill myself. I'm a failure. I woke up in the morning. My mother's like, "Are you okay?" I'm like, "What? Why?" "Oh, that, yeah. That was yesterday. I believe, I follow people that also do it, Spike and Paul and Dion and Snow and many other people in here, many, many, many. If I didn't say your name, please don't get offended, and I know you won't. You guys go to a lot of meetings. I know that if I do this at noon, I could see this group of people, and if I go there on a Saturday up here in Boca, I'm going to see this people. I know that I can see Annie a couple times a week because we really look forward to this. Dr. Bob spoke about after receiving a new life to go back into Alcoholics Anonymous because we've been given a gift. He said, for the people that don't buy into this or the people that don't believe in God or a higher entity in life, he feels sorry for you, for us. Matter of fact, let me just read this. Oh, man. Hold on. It's a lot of things going. Thank you, brother. I've spent a lot. This is Dr. Bob, the co-founder of the program. I spent a lot of time, page 180 of the big book, I spent a lot of time and a great deal of time passing on what I learned to others who want and need it badly. I do it for four reasons. One is sense of duty. Two is because it's a pleasure. Three, because in doing so, I'm paying back my debt to the man who took time to pass it on to me. Number four, because every time I do, I take out a little bit more insurance for myself against a possible slip. One of the things we find out by going to meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous is what happens to people that don't go to meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous. And one other thing that we find by going into meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous is by seeing what people do that go to Alcoholics Anonymous. The stories that are in here are just, you know, unbelievable. I have my friend Yubel from Montreal is here today. And I had the blessing of speaking up in Canada with Peter M. And he took me as like his sidekick, you know, like to do it with him in Montreal. And I called up my friend Yubel and I said, Yubel, I'm going to be speaking in Montreal. And Yubel drove 2.5 hours, right? You don't really live in Montreal. You live in the outskirts in the country. He drove 2.5 hours with 3 or 4 of his friends to come to this conference we were doing. And he loved, and he drove back same day and loved it. And he said he would do it again. Yubel called me this week and I said, I happen to be speaking in Florida. He happens to be here at the same time. I said, maybe you want to come over here to Boca. He's here tonight because we love doing this. Because right now there's a magic going on behind the scenes. There's a massaging of your spirit. There's an energizing of your spirit. And we're better after a great meeting. Really, you know what? We're better after even bad meetings. Sometimes we go to a bad meeting and we're like, that was a bad meeting. And but I feel better. There's something magical even going on in bad meetings. And every person in here matters. My favorite story is the starfish story. And simple, but not if you live it, it's not. The story is simple, but living it is harder. So the story is going to be quick, but living it is a lifetime. One day a man was walking along the beach when he noticed a boy hurriedly picking up and gently throwing things into the ocean. Approaching the boy, he asked, "Young man, what are you doing?" The boy replied, "Throwing starfish back into the ocean. The surf is up and the tide is going out. If I don't throw them back, they'll die." The man laughed to himself and said, "Don't you realize that there are miles and miles of beach and thousands of starfish? You can't make any difference. After listening politely, the boy bent down, picked up another starfish, threw it into the ocean, and said, "Well, it certainly mattered to this one." That's what we're doing here. We're picking up starfish and throwing them back in the ocean. And 20 years ago, when I was sitting at the 12-step house and watching Paul do his show of Alcoholics Anonymous, combination Narcotics Anonymous and Alcohol Anonymous morphed into one type of one-night event of Cadillacs and pinky rings and... Back then, at that event, that at the 12-step house, when Paul would bring his show into town and speak about how he came into Narcotics Anonymous, then went into Alcoholics Anonymous, and how he did this whole thing, he was a man throwing a starfish into the ocean, and I was that starfish. We have these incredible people, these blessers in the program that do this out of the four things that Dr. Bob said, duty, because it ensures that we're not going to relapse, because it's the right thing, all that and so much more. Before Alcoholics Anonymous, there's many, many different programs, as you know. And in the 12th step in the big book, it talks about being the good Samaritan. That we have to be the good Samaritan every day. The story of the Good Samaritan that comes out of the big, big book talks about a Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him for dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along. But when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed to the other side. Then a despised enemy of the man that was laying there came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, this man soothed his wounds with oil and wine and took care of him. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, "Take care of this man. And if the bill runs higher than what I'm giving you right now, on my way back, I'll pay you." Now, which one of these was a good neighbor to this man? Was it the ones that were living with him that walked to the other side, or was it his enemy who stopped and took care of him? It was the one who stopped and took care of him. That's exactly what we're doing in here. We're not passing the buck. In this day and age, we might want other people to get our kids sober. We might want other people to, but that our responsibility. We are responsible for the next person that comes in. But we're not doing it because we have to. We're doing it because we're excited to do it, because someone else passed it on to us and we can't wait to sit down with somebody. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I'm feeling the dumbest, I'm feeling the lowest, I'm feeling like, what am I even doing in life? I sit down with a newcomer and I open up the big book. I feel like a genius. All of a sudden, 5 minutes earlier, I didn't understand English that was written in the 1930s. And I'm reading, I'm like, well, that word means, and this is what they mean by that, because someone else passed it on to me. I'm using the same words that someone else passed it on to me. As we trudge the road. I never heard the word trudge. I never heard the word trudge my entire life. Then we come to Alcoholics and say, as we trudge the road to happy destiny. What? My sponsor told me that means walk with purpose. So I get a sponsor and I tell them, and they say, what does that word trudge mean? That means walk with purpose. Of course. And when we're finished carrying that 12-step for that hour to that person, we feel like we've accomplished something. You know why that is? Because we have. There is no greater gift than this simple gift that we've been given. And we may be short-sighted in feeling, I may be short-sighted in feeling like, well, this whole thing is about staying sober. That's only the byproduct of what we're doing. Staying sober is great. And it's definitely the key to all this. But the byproduct is this. The byproduct is this. I was telling my story Sunday morning at the 12th Step House, the hour went by like that. It went by so fast. It's so fast. You know, you can't even get good stories out. You get like three stories, and I'm like, what? And then the woman, you know, the chairperson stood up. In this group, they stand up, let you know your time is up. I'm in the middle of it. I just want to keep, because to tell you the next story and then to tell you what happened, and then we were able to adopt Joshua. When they said we weren't able to adopt any baby or any, and then we adopt Joshua. And then 9 months later that Joshua comes out with red hair, exactly the color of my mother's hair this week. My mother's hair this week is exactly the color of Joshua. And that when my mom and Joshua, my mom and my dad take care of Joshua on Thursdays, and when my mom takes him to Taekwondo, all the grandmas and moms in there are like, of course, that's your son, because he has red hair. My mom has red hair. He looks exact, and he's adopted. Tell me God didn't orchestrate that. I did a Google thing on how, and you redheads in here, you know it's a rare thing. It's like 3% or something like that of the entire population. But I get to adopt a son that has red hair from the top of the United States that looks like my mom's grandson. And he just so happens to look like his other cousins, because we're a very small family. We just have three cousins and me, my wife, and my parents. And he looks like all of them except my wife and I. But all the other ones he looks exactly like. And I could tell that story over and over and over again, because that's the beginning of an amazing story. That's the beginning of something that incredible happened in my life. Spike's in this room tonight. I've known him longer than any other person in Alcoholics Anonymous, because he was there the night that Paul brought the show to town. And he was there, and you really couldn't get in to see Paul. You'd have to have your advanced tickets at that type of event. But Spike was in the lower rung because he was at 3 years and Paul was probably at 12 or 15 years or 12, 15 years. So you could get into the first couple rows of the people that were waiting to see Paul. So I saw Spike and he had a 3 year gold bar on. He had a 3 gold bar. I didn't even know it was a 3 year. He just had 3 gold bars on. Back then, they were dancing in both programs, and Spike was dancing in Narcotics Anonymous and Alcoholics Anonymous in both programs, and he had 3 bars. And I came up like, oh, that guy's amazing. And Spike turned around and he goes, if you want what he has, I can help you with that. And I go, I want what he has. Spike goes, and if you stick around with me, you could get something like this. I'm sober 11 months. That's 3 bars. I don't know what it is, but it looks good. Turns out that was 3 years in the program. That was 3 years. I'm 24 years old and I have 11 months and look to see 3 years. That was big. And we've been friends ever since. After my relapse, I got to meet him again. And an incredible story about that is I was living in a recovery house with the two men that just came in the back with Eddie and Mason. And Mason was a stockbroker. And I knew that my friend before I relapsed, Spike, was a stockbroker. And when I met Mason from New York, I said, you got to meet this guy, Spike, who's a stockbroker. You're a stockbroker. Man, you guys got to meet each other. You're both from New York. And Mason then started to be sponsored by Spike. And that's how this thing just continued to go. And then the way that I met Snow is the way I met. I wasn't supposed to meet Snow. I was going on a vacation. I wasn't supposed to meet Snow. And then we found out that Paul Lee was speaking. And we canceled that vacation, and we went on a vacation with Snow, and Paul Lee was the main speaker, and we all got into twine like that, and I didn't have the money to go on that vacation at that time. And Mason said, "Who the guy that I met in the halfway house, well, let me take you." And that's how we all got to be friends. I was friends with Paulie. I'm like, I know Paulie. So I said, "You pay for my cruise and I'll introduce you to Paulie." It's like my VIG to get in. And that's how I met Snow, and now I've known Snow for 14 years or 12 years, some amazing thing like that. And then one night, Dion came down to the 12-step house. And you can imagine, for me, I wanted to always meet this man. And I told my mom, even before I met him, I said, "Dion's going to speak at the 12-step house. I can't wait to meet him," being from New York and hearing about that Dion's in the program. And growing up in that era and loving that type of person. And he was speaking at the 12th house and everybody was waiting to see him. Everybody was waiting to talk to him. This is about 10 years, 12 years ago. Everybody's waiting to talk. Long, long line. And Dan doesn't move you on in the line. He gives everyone their attention. I'm not good at that. If I see someone, then I get nervous. I'm like, because I'm a people pleaser still. I'm like, maybe that person's waiting too long. I don't want to be rude. But Dion doesn't do that. He gives you attention. You don't want to wait, then don't wait. But he'll talk to everybody and gives you the time. And I'm like 12 back. It's going to be a while. And while I was waiting on the line, and people were telling him kind of nonsense stuff. You know, like, "Oh, my aunt loves you," and this, that, and stuff. And he heard me online talking about God. And he just like, just went to me. And we've been friends ever since. Because we have an Alcoholics Anonymous and God connection. See, when you meet people in Alcoholics Anonymous that have a God connection, you put the two things together, that's power. You really don't want to talk about much else. Matter of fact, I don't have much else. I don't have much else because I know you got a lot of people in here are sports people, and I think that's great. I see Nick has his Patriots shirt on, and everyone's a big sports people, and I get that's great. I think it's great. But if it's a choice between me talking about sports and me talking about God and Alcoholics Anonymous, it's not even close. I mean, I get juiced up on this. I'm like, "Dr. Bob, so yeah, that's a Dr. Bob nightmare." I mean, I get juiced up on that. Because it comes from this sense of gratitude. I'm not going to read the 10th leper story word for word, but let me just tell you about it. The master heals 10 people during this era when leprosy is the worst disease you can have. It's a disease where you're disfigured and parts of your face fall off and parts of your body. It's the worst thing you could possibly have in this area. As a matter of fact, if you have this disease, you cannot live in the town. You have to live in a leper colony. You have to live in a leper place outside town. As a matter of fact, it's so feared during this era in the world that if you were coming into town and you had leprosy, the law was you had to scream. If you had the disease, you had to scream, "Leper, leper." So you imagine it like if we had to scream, "Alcoholic coming, drug addict on the way." That's pretty demeaning, you know. So to have leprosy was bad. Not only you have to live with all other lepers, which in itself is horrendous. You know, you go down to the water fountain and then a piece falls off. Did you leave this? Is this yours? So that's terrible. Leprosy was the worst. So there's 10 lepers and they come to the master and he heals them all. He heals them all. They get healed. And they all go away. And as they're going to tell their families that they don't have to live in the leper colony anymore, one realizes that he was just healed. And he stops before he goes back into his life. And he turns around and he walks back the 10 miles of where he was healed. And he goes and he thanks the master. And the master says, "But was there not 10? By your faith, he says to the one that came back, and that's what we're doing in here tonight. By your faith, you'll be permanently healed. There's plenty of people that get healed. There's plenty of people that get healed, and they don't come back. They leave because they got theirs. They don't have a sense of duty. They don't have a sense of gratitude. They're like, I used to go to, I love when I meet someone 30 years, 27, I used to go to meetings. And I say, well, I don't say it, but I really want to say, what do you mean you used to go to meetings? What about the people that need to go to meetings and that you're not there? As a matter of fact, one of the guys tonight, he's sick. He's got 31 years. Calvin. Calvin didn't need to text me. I got 16 years. We've just met here in the Step Series. But Calvin went out of his way tonight to let me know with 31 years. Listen, I have the flu. I want to thank you for what you've done here the last 12 weeks. I want to thank you for coming up and bringing the meeting. He didn't need to thank me, but he did it because he's got a sense of gratitude to this. Thank you, Calvin, for being here before I was here and keeping the room open. But he let me know tonight that he couldn't be here because he has gratitude for what we're doing here, and he wanted me to know. Well, the one leper came back and thanked the master. And I want to tell you that I am that leper. And most of you in here are. And because of what the people that came before me did, the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, the steps, Dr. Bob, Bill W., and Alcoholic Number 3, and all the way on, we get to be here tonight. So one of the things when I first came here, Annie, the first week, was so amazing on how many people, when you say, who's speaking, right? Tonight, you guys took it easy because you know it's our last night and you didn't want to hog up the room. But if we were really doing it, there was a lot of people that are speaking in this room this week. This specific room has a lot of people that give back. Did you notice that, Cubby? When we started coming here and they said, who's speaking? And it's like everybody was raising their hand because there's so much gratitude in here. We're not looking to keep it for ourselves, right? We're not just looking to have it done. Oh, I'm only sober in Toronto. I'm not sober here. I'm not sober in Montreal. I'm only sober in Toronto. We have all these people here that are visiting from Canada because they're on fire while they're here in Florida. And they're going to bring it back to Toronto. Eh? They're going to bring it back with them. Because it is not just our responsibility, but it's our joy. This is the joy of living. And when you start operating like that, all sorts of remarkable things will follow. I really wanted to take time tonight to go over some of the steps, but it's not, time is not permitting. No, I know we're not finished yet. But I wanted to finish some of the story because I usually end my story because I run out of time. I usually end my story on what happened with Joshua. But I really want to tell you a little bit more about that story, which I didn't have time to do in our first week, which is the first step. I want to tell you about this woman. I want to tell you about my home group. And I want to tell you about this guy named Bob. So for those of you that weren't here, I have two sobrieties. One, I was sober 7 years and I gave back that gift because I thought I could drink. I knew I couldn't do drugs, but I thought I could drink. And also, I was not living right. I was living dirty and trying to stay clean, which means I was really living dirty. Okay? There wasn't anything that I thought that I couldn't do. I thought I could do everything as long as I didn't drink and drug. And I lived that way. And I started to hang out with some of the guys that were going to watch Paulie with the pinky rings and that were carrying firearms. When they would fall out of, those were some of the guys I would follow. I'm like, that guy is so cool, you know. He's carrying a gun, you know. I follow those guys. And I lost my sobriety. I gave my sobriety away. That was my first sobriety. But in that sobriety, coming out of a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I'm going to say this in front of my mom, which of course she knows, and if my wife was here, of course she knows. Coming out of a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, I went to pick up a woman on the street who was a police officer. And it's called solicitation. And it's illegal. And I'm in the Fort Lauderdale jail cell, and I'm still running game in there. I just want to let you know I'm still acting like I'm very sober. I am sober in terms of not drinking and not drugging. I'm 2 years sober, but a member of Alcoholics Anonymous that relapsed and was drunk was in there, in the same holding cell as me. And he says to me, "Stevie B, what are you doing in here?" I rarely couldn't tell him that I was, "Oh, I'm in here for prostitution." So I pretended that I was in there with the institutions committee and we were taking a meeting inside the jail. I'm like, "It's a new program. We bring the meetings inside. We want to see what we can do to help you. Obviously, you've relapsed. When you get out, here's my number, and I'll definitely be to help you." But I still was running game in there. You know that. When I got out of there, and then 3 years later relapsed, and then 12 years later tried to adopt a baby, that charge popped up. And we were not allowed to adopt in the state of Florida because of that. And a guy in my home group, because in every group you go to, there's experts. There's experts. I don't want to start saying the experts because you may get me wrong, but there's experts. There's people that know how to deal with money. There's people that know how to get you in shape. There's people that know stocks. There's people you really shouldn't go for relationships inside Alcoholics Anonymous. I don't recommend that. But there's people that are experts. In my home group, there's a guy named Bob, and he was an attorney before he was disbarred. And he... Because in AA, there's always going to be a story like that. Bob was an amazing attorney before he was disbarred. But while he was still practicing, before he came up on charges, he knew a woman. And her name is Mindy. And Mindy's this amazing Jewish woman from Boca. And Deanna, I don't even know if you know the story. Now, during this time, Eddie gives me a giant picture of God, and it's on my wall. Giant picture. I mean, huge. And it really was Jesus. You're right, yes. Because you really have to say it like that, because otherwise it's going to send you in the wrong direction. Thank you. So Eddie gives me giant Jesus that his friend painted. And it's big. And it's like 5 foot tall, and it's in my house, and it's not something that I would have really... Right, it is big, Mom. It is big. But it's beautiful, and I put it up. And he's looking over the whole house. And Bob tells me about Jewish Mindy from Boca, and she may be able to help us with the adoption. So I say to Sandy, I say, "Sandy, you know, Mindy from Boca is coming now. We probably should take giant Jesus off the wall." I'm not saying... I'm not trying to hide who we are, but we don't have to be over the top. When she leaves, he goes back up on the wall. And Sandy says, "We're not going to hide who we are. It's in God's hands. We're not going to manipulate God. We're going to just leave it up there." And she comes over to the house. And she's an amazing woman of God. She lives up in Boca. I name drop Dion. She knows him personally from up here. She looks up at the picture and she says to me, "Do you think God gave you another chance?" After she reads, I was 6 felony charges, driving under the influence and picking up a prostitute. And she reads this whole thing. She says, "Do you think God gave you another chance?" And I said, "I know he did." And she said, "So how could I not give you another chance?" And she signs off on the papers when no one else would, because a guy from my meeting said he knows a woman in Boca. She's not in the program, but she's a woman of faith, and she's open-minded. And she comes down, and she signs off. And then, at the top of the United States, a woman we never met, in a place we've never been to, asks us if we're going to adopt her son and what we'd like to name him. And that story is amazing because what happens when you're trying to adopt a baby is you have to fill out, this is not a joke, you have to fill out a whole thing and then you have to put pictures together and it's like a portfolio and then you have to send it all around the country and you have to give it to different agencies and it's a very long and arduous process. From the time Mindy B, that's up here, Mindy Bisignano, she's not in the program, I can say that, by the time she signed off on our adoption, on our home study, 2 months later, we're looking at this baby that's being born the same day. And this little white, very white girl from the top of the United States picks my wife and I out. I mean, she's Colombian. I'm Italian Jewish from New York. We don't look anything like her. We don't talk anything like her. We get to speak to her once on the phone. She says, yeah, you guys sound perfect. Because once God puts everything together for you, if you're not just settling for sober, because see, if I settle for sober, let me tell you what happens if I settle for sober. When Joe from the adoption agency says, you can't adopt a baby, and if I'm settling for sober, I say, you're right. But because I'm not settling for sober, and I'm settling for what Snow tells me, and life beyond my wildest dreams, and you could have anything, you could do all these things, and I'm watching her life, and she's sitting like in the falls in Africa, buffalo and all these things. She's not settling for sober, and Dion's certainly not settling for sober, and Spike is certainly not settling for sober. I'm not going to settle for sober. So when Joe tells me you can't adopt a baby, I go, thanks for sharing, and we're going to adopt a baby. And I start making calls to disbarred lawyers. Because they're cheaper. And then Joshua changes our life. And tonight, he called while I was at dinner and he's crying his eyes out. This is not a good part of the story, but it's a good part of the story because he's crying his eyes out because he misses me so much. And he says, Daddy, Daddy, why are you not here in the house? And I'm going to be there the next week, but I'm going to be there tonight, of course. But that's my son. And on Father's Day, which was always the worst day of my life for the last 6 years has been the best day of my life. This Father's Day was the best day of my life. My wife woke me up in the house and there was a banner that she made and it said, world's best dad. And my son came in and like made breakfast and I wouldn't have had that if it wasn't for Alcoholics Anonymous and God. And I have that today. And I would have settled, listen, 16 years ago when I was in the Fort Lauderdale Hospital in the psychiatric floor, I probably would have settled for not just thinking about drugs and alcohol. I would have settled for that. But let me tell you something, John, don't settle for that. Because God wants to wow you. He wants to give you stories that you just go like this. Look what they gave me. He wants to give you stories that you're going to have to tell people about it because you can't keep it like this. Imagine you walking around with 6 gold bullions that someone just gave you. You're going to be like this. And when you've been given the gift of sobriety accompanied with a relationship with God, you walk around like this. And people may think you're full of it, but you know what? If they stay around you long enough, they're going to realize it's not an act. This is not a show. This life is not a dress rehearsal. This is the only one we're going to ever get. And listen to this. Our entrance fee is paid with giving up drinking. But the next 11 and a half steps is how to have a life beyond your wildest dreams. I'm so excited and blessed that I got to watch men and women come before me that didn't settle for sober. As a matter of fact, nobody that I follow settles for sober. One of my guys, Russell, that you guys know, he's certainly not settling. Sometimes he doesn't seem sober, but he's certainly not settling for sober. That man is excited. That man drives from, I told you, he lives in Cutler Ridge. If you look where Havana is and you look where Cutler Ridge is, it's two spaces in the map next to each other. That man drives from north of Havana twice a week to go and regurgitate the big book. It doesn't matter where you ask him to go. Where are you? Lake Worth? Yep, I can do the step stairs in Lake Worth. You live in Cutler Ridge because he's excited. He's been given a new life. And the day that I went and I met Russell and my dad said, why don't you ask that man to be your sponsor? And I said, Dad, you can't ask a man like that to be your sponsor. You can't, that man is, there's a protocol in place. My dad seemed like, he said, it looks like he's just standing there. I went over to him. I said, listen, I know this, I'm sure you're busy. I don't know if you could be my sponsor. He goes, sure, call me tomorrow. And he was my sponsor. Because his sponsor, Joe Schneider, did that for him. And then his second sponsor, or his third or fourth sponsor that he got after that, that just died with 54 years of sobriety 2 weeks ago, Pastor John Glenn, that he died fat. And now he has a new sponsor that's going to be 50 years sober. And that's how this thing works. So if I've passed anything on to you the last 12 weeks, I hope that it's, that I tell you that there's nothing like living in God's world on God's terms. When we lost the baby, and I know other people in here have lost children too, I did feel like God abandoned me. And unfortunately, someone told me that God only gives you what you can handle. But thank God my mom told me that's not true, who lost her husband at 26 years old with a five-week-old baby. When I said, Mom, they say that God only gives you what you can handle. Why does God think that I can handle losing a child? And my mom said, that's not true. God doesn't give you only what you can handle. Life gives you some really tough things sometimes, son. But God gives you the strength to get through it. And I called up Mason and I said, Mason, I can't do this thing anymore. I can't do this. I'm not going to serve God and do the things we're doing and take meetings into the treatment centers and tell people about God after God allowed allowed the baby to die. And Mason said, you know what's so great about AA? Mason didn't try to talk me out of that. Mason said, I understand. I'll be here with you. And that night we were in the meeting. And that night Sandy was in Al-Anon. Because I watched you people do it with grace and dignity. So last year when I was at Elliot's house, and I already knew how to behave because I've watched people behave losing the love of their lives. I've watched people the last 27 years in AA. I've watched the way you guys do it. And I knew he'd get through it because he has God. I don't know how people do this thing without God, but I'm so grateful that Dr. Bob said, if you're an atheist, an agnostic, a skeptic, or you have any form of intellectual pride which keeps you from accepting the items in this book, I feel sorry for you. If you still think you're strong enough to beat the game alone, that's your affair. But if you really and truly want to quit drinking liquor for good and all and sincerely feel that you must have some help, we know we have the answer for you. It never fails. If you go about it with one half the zeal you've been in the habit of showing when you were getting another drink. And then he sums up the whole book. Your heavenly Father will never let you down. God bless you guys. It's been an amazing time with you.